You're listening to I Want That Job, the show that gives you the inside track on the career you never even knew you wanted.
I'm Emily Sheeran, and each week I'm joined by a working professional who'll give you the lowdown on what it's really like to do their job. Then our resident panel of careers experts, Andre Harper and Mary Quirk, authors of Sorted, will be here to help you figure out how to make that dream job a reality. Today we're talking to John Smith, accredited psychotherapist and clinical supervisor from Booterstown Counselling and Psychotherapy. Thanks a million for joining us on the show today, John.
My pleasure, Emily.
So first up, tell us, what exactly is the role of a psychotherapist?
Well, it's helping people to understand their lives and to work through change. People would be coming with various issues, the relationship with themselves, which is the most important relationship you can have, and with others, and then other issues could be around addictions, anger management, depression, anxiety. So it can be a wide spectrum of issues that people can arrive on your doorstep with.
Okay, and how did you get into this area? Obviously, you have to have training, but where did you study, or what did you study?
Well, I started off in the Tivoli Institute. I did a three-year diploma in counselling psychotherapy there, and then I followed that with a year's internship, a full-year internship at the Rutland Addiction Treatment Centre, and then I spent 2 years in group. Now, I came to this work via the Samaritans. I spent 5 years in the Samaritans and dealing with a wide range of age groups and a wide range of issues.
Okay, and did you always know that this is what you wanted to do, or was it through your work with the Samaritans that you kind of became interested in this area?
I remember a deputy director mentioning that this is something you might like to do professionally, because they would get notes in from people that I would have dealt with on the phone. You know, I wouldn't see them directly because they'd come into the office. And she just said to me, look, maybe this is an area you might like to go into. And I went in there as a volunteer. But then, like any good charitable organisation, you're brought into preparation, training, recruitment. And it gave me more experience in the area of, you know, where people are emotionally and being a listening ear for people in distress. So I came from that background, and I also had a background in media and in RTE, so I combined both of those to come into the work I'm doing now.
And obviously, you know, this is a continually developing area. Do you have to kind of do ongoing training?
I do. Overall, I would do over 30 years CPD, that's continuing professional development. And there'd be various training courses that'd be looking at relationships, what issues people have in relationships, or it might be around CBT for depression or eating disorders, you know. So it's various training programs like that, and also working in new concepts around psychotherapy and how to help clients help themselves.
And what kind of clients do you deal with, John?
Well, I would say what I would call our brothers and our sisters, our fathers and our mothers, a wide range of people coming, some with very specific issues. They might be struggling with either gambling, alcohol, relationship issues. But from a wide spectrum of life, I normally work with individuals over 18 years of age, although I have worked with younger, and up to 70 years of age. So it's a wide kind of spectrum of ages there, both men and women, young and old, trying to work through the issues that they have.
Okay, and would you ever be in a position whereby you might refer someone on to someone else? And if you do, what other kind of professionals do you refer on to?
Well, it'd be rare that I would refer on. If, for example, if I'm a very young person, let's say somebody 18, 19, 20, who's struggling with alcohol, and it's in an environment where there's a huge amount of alcohol at home, I might suggest the possibility of the Rutland. Or, you know, somebody who would be in their late 50s, 60s, who's been struggling with alcohol. Again, because of the years that somebody would have been addicted to a substance, I might suggest a treatment centre. But it's rare that I would do, unless I have an issue where I have somebody coming along with very extreme psychotic behaviour, then I would refer them back to the GP. Now, most of my referrals come through GPs. And now I keep the numbers down. I like to do quality work. And also for my own self-care, it's not a kind of a job where you can do back to back, you know, it's pacing it through the day, as too many people you can see.
And John, obviously you just kind of mentioned there that it isn't the kind of job that you just see lots of people every day, because I imagine there is a toll that that would take on you as well, and you obviously have a duty of care to your clients.
Mm-hmm.
What personality traits do you think that you have that make you suitable for this kind of emotionally challenging career?
Well, I would consider myself a good listener and somebody who would be compassionate. And a person who's gone through the life cycle myself, you know, I think for this kind of work, you have to have a certain amount of maturity that comes with experience of life, and it also comes with age, and also a different kind of, I would say that Samaritans was a very good foundation for this work coming. And then, you know, with Rutland, I would have done an immersion in addictions, because you would have 27 people in residence there. So you would hear about their struggles, and you'd look at the various triggers or drivers that and emotional undercurrents that drive addictions. So again, it's helping people to help themselves.
And so, John, I suppose with every career, there's kind of areas that people enjoy more and then the kind of more challenging aspects. What are the parts of your job that you really love?
I really find it inspiring to see the spiritual change in people. If somebody's coming in and they have a committee room going on in their heads, and they are struggling with, let's say, alcohol, they're also struggling with maybe sulfadine, and they're also in a relationship with a family they're trying to bring up. It's amazing that 3 months down the road, you see the change. They're more at peace. They have a serenity about them, and they're able to stand back from where they are, and they're able to break out of isolation. I think anybody in addiction is very, very isolated. And in the area of addictions, I cover a wide spectrum. It would be alcohol, drugs, gambling, food, and sex and internet addictions. So it's a wide range there of where people can be struggling. And then people will be struggling with issues from the past. Childhood needs not met. Resentments. Change and uncertainty. Somebody leaving a job or going into retirement and facing retirement, and how they manage that change.
So I suppose you enjoy seeing the transformation in people and the journey that they go through while they're working with you. And what then do you find more challenging?
Well, there is a part of this where the job is, for myself, you're a lone ranger. You're working people in the context of a full hour. So self-care is important. And again, I'm in very good supervision. I'm a clinical supervisor, so I'm working with pre-accredited therapists. And again, I emphasize self-care and the whole management and ethical standards required for their practice. Likewise, I have to apply that to myself. So I need to take time out, you know, the support of friends, colleagues, swimming, tennis. These are all very positive things. Sometimes meditation. And just recharging the batteries.
Definitely. And you just mentioned supervision there. Just explain to our listeners how that works and what supervision is in relation to your job.
Well, supervision comes about as part of your professional capacity under the, you know, either IACP, the Irish Association for Counselling Psychotherapy. You're required to do supervision. And that means you find a place where you can look at what's going on for you around clients, how you sit with the clients, how you're working your practice, how you're attending to CPD, your continuing professional development, and how you're looking after your boundaries with clients, the issues that come up, the transference, counter-transference, how you sit with somebody, and also around, as I said previously, management of your practice, and being in a reflective place about yourself and your clients.
Okay, and what advice would you have for somebody who is maybe considering this as a career path?
Well, I think it's good to come to this work maybe via charity, you know, and it gives you a sense, you know, either through Simon or maybe Focus Ireland or the Samaritans, which is a, you know, three of them great organisations. But again, that gives you an idea what it's like to sit with somebody. I think it's an area that you need a certain amount of maturity, because it is very, very soulful work. You're sitting with somebody who's struggling with very deep personal issues, and being able to sit with them through those issues and also work through those issues with them and helping them to do the work, that's important. And again, the essential thing about therapy is about change, is helping people to work through change and work through loss. So I think a balance between good training, good supervision and good self-care and good support of friends is important, I think. And being able to pace it, you know, knowing when enough is enough, and being able to say, no, I can't see you today, I've booked, I might be able to fit you in next week or something like that. But it's also, you know, keeping a balance that you don't do back-to-back with clients, and that you take good long breaks and time out to recharge.
Definitely, because you have to be in a strong mindset to be able to give them the support that they need. So, John, what are your hopes going forward in your career?
Well, my hopes is that I'd like to continue on doing this work. I enjoy what I'm doing at the moment. I find that being on a journey with people, I think we're all fellow travellers in life, being on a journey with people and seeing them coming through is a very hopeful sign. Seeing people making changes in their life, sometimes small changes, but important changes. And hopefully I'd like to continue on working on. I'm a great believer in keeping this in the day. I may plan for, you know, next week and the week after. But staying in the day, enjoying the work and getting balance in time off, I think that's important, you know. And my motto is celebrating life in a positive way.
And keeping that work-life balance.
Yeah.
If you could describe your job in three words, what three words would you use?
Combination of challenging, interesting and inspiring.
I think that sums it up perfectly, John. Every week I ask my guests to choose a song. So what song have you chosen for us
today? Well, it's a piece of music, Emily, I like. And it's a song that comes to mind, I Can See Clearly Now.
That ties in very nicely with your career. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, John.
Thank you very much, Emily.
That was accredited psychotherapist and clinical supervisor John Smith. And for more information about John, you can visit boucherstowncounselling.com. Stay with us after this. Our resident careers experts, Andre Harper and Mary Quirk, will be here to tell us more about a career as a psychotherapist. But first, here's Johnny Nash with I Can See Clearly Now on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be a bright sunshiny day.
That was Johnny Nash with I Can See Clearly. You're listening to I Want That Job. I'm Emily Sheeran and I'm joined now by our resident career guidance experts, Andre Harper and Mary Quirk, authors of Sorted, a survival guide for parents of students making a career choice. Both Andre and Mary have a wealth of experience dealing with clients of all ages and stages, and they're here now to tell us more about a career as a psychotherapist. So first up, what sort of qualification do you need to get into this area?
There are probably several different types of qualifications, Emily. The first one, obviously, is that you can do a course. Now, a lot of the courses in psychotherapy last 4 years. Normally, they're not full-time courses, although you can do a full-time course. But traditionally, the courses in psychotherapy were part-time courses. Now, they were very intensive part-time courses. They would advise, first of all, that you do a year foundation course because it's a career that will either suit you or it won't. There are no grey areas here. You will enjoy this or you won't. So they really do recommend that you do a foundation year in, say, counselling skills first to see, does this whole area suit you? And then normally people would spend 3 additional years doing psychotherapy. Now, as I said, it is part-time, but it's quite an intensive. It's both an academic course of study, but also they very much stress the experiential part of psychotherapy. So not only do you do role plays with clients, but you also have to go through your own process yourself. It's very much a career whereby you need to constantly work on yourself as well as working on the client. And a lot of people get a surprise when they want to do. They always think, oh, I want to go out and help people. But they don't actually realise that this is as much a learning for yourself as for your clients. So there are different strands to it. So there's the academic study. There's the actual role play where you're actually trained to deal with the client, but you're actually working on yourself at the same time too.
That's true. And I think very often people find themselves coming to this career. I'm not so sure that people go straight into it at 18 years of age. I certainly have never worked with somebody who has. And sometimes it's a case of maybe they've come because they've done a psychology degree and they've studied the different therapies. They've gone out, they've got some experience, and there is a range of different therapies there. And one or other might appeal to them and they decide they're going to be a therapist in that particular area. Another situation might be that somebody has even just done an arts degree with psychology as a subject, again, dips into the area, goes out into the world of work. But as Andre said, it's as much about who you are and the experiences you've had in the past. So very often it's people's past experiences and their past life experiences bring them to this area because they're bringing with them some wisdom. Would that be fair to say, Andre?
That's absolutely imperative. And John actually brought that up in his interview, that he really felt that his whole life experience was terribly important. And I totally agree with Mary. In fact, most of the courses would ask you to be 25 and over before you even think about this. Because as you can imagine, I mean, John was talking about addicts coming to him, different types of addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex. And you really need to have been around the block to be able to sit in that space. And also there's another intelligence required, and John really, I think, described it very well in the interview, and that's the whole area of self-care. Again, if you don't care for yourself, you can't care for anybody else.
Yes, and I suppose, Andre, it reminded me of when we did our guidance counselling training, because it is, in a sense, another form of therapy. And one of the ethical codes that we abide by is that whole self-care. And John put it across very beautifully. It's also the fact that John is a supervisor now, and he's now looking after the care of other therapists. And I think it's knowing your boundaries and knowing intuitively, I've had enough, or I'm not going to burn out, or I need to now look after myself, because if I'm looking after others, I need to be well also. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And John also mentioned transference and counter-transference, and that basically is keeping an eye on not putting your stuff over on the client or taking the client's stuff on you. Now, that's a very basic way of putting it, but that's why you do supervision as well. It's that the supervisor is helping you to critically analyse your practice the whole time in order for you to maintain an objective, healthy stance in your practice.
Okay. And so we've talked about age then. And if somebody is, you know, at the younger stage and they do think that this is something that they want, are we suggesting that, you know, an arts degree or a psychology degree is a good place for them to start out?
It can actually come from any area, Emily. I think in our practices, Mary, I'm sure you'll agree, a lot of people came to this area, I've seen, from even the alternative medical area. You know, they might have started off doing acupuncture or massage or even beautician or nursing. A lot of nurses go into this area. And so what we find is that people that have gone into the helping caring areas first, and then they find that they're dealing with people in a certain way and that they would like to deal with them in a more in-depth way. Teachers very often go from this area into the therapies as well.
I absolutely agree, because as I mentioned in a previous interview, my first career was nursing and midwifery, and I actually considered going into this area, which was when I took the course in guidance and counselling, with a view to going further. Now, I learned about myself at the time, first of all, that I loved the careers work, but also that maybe I wasn't ready because I was in my mid-20s. And there's nothing like actually even doing that first year in any course and going through that supervision, I think, that makes you realise we can all get a good sense about ourselves if we're good at sitting beside somebody on the bus, perhaps, and listening to their life story and giving them a bit of advice. And that's not to belittle that, but I think there's a bit more to it than that. And that's why it's so regulated and why the professional bodies are so strict and why there are such codes of conduct and codes of ethics around this area.
Yeah, and that's simply because the area can be so abused. I mean, a well-meaning person, you know, you might be very well-meaning, but you can do a lot of damage if you're not sufficiently trained.
So that's why I suppose it's very important, if you are considering going and studying in this area, that your course is accredited.
And reputable.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So I suppose there are lots of extracurricular activities that might stand to a person who is interested in this area and might give them a flavour of what it's like to work in this area. John spoke about his work with the Samaritans. So what would we suggest to somebody who maybe is thinking about this as a career and, you know, maybe wants to get a bit of more of an insight into it?
I suppose the good news is, if you were to look at volunteering at the moment, there are plenty of opportunities out there. I mean, the Samaritans are one such organisation. Bernardo's would be another such organisation. Some of the bigger organisations that work with people, not necessarily even just a direct counselling capacity, but the fact that you go out and you volunteer and you put yourself out there to give of people and work with people. And all of those organisations also teach you from the offset and how to manage your boundaries and how to manage yourself.
Another great avenue that very young people can go into, Emily, if they feel drawn to this area, is the area of sports training. For example, you could go out and train somebody in football or basketball. And then those young people, while they're playing sport, they'll start talking to you. And you might even notice things like bodily changes. You might notice that somebody's getting very thin, or that somebody is putting on an awful lot of weight and they're worried about that. So that it can be, you can create a lovely relationship with the people you're training. So that could be a very good area. Just to come back to a previous point, Emily, it's very important the course that you do is accredited by the Irish Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy. That's really very important. So it's the IACP. It's very important that this organisation accredits your training, whether you do it. There are also degrees that you can do in this area. And there's a 4-year degree in psychotherapy that you can do in a private college. So that if you were, again, people tend to be a little bit older in doing this, but I have had clients who are quite young and did this degree, mm-hmm. and then maybe took a little bit of time out and, you know, travelled a bit, got some experience, and then came back and did their therapy.
Okay, so we'll put that up on our Facebook page, the IACPT.
I'd just like to pick up on a point there Andre said, which is a very good point about the whole coaching and sports area, because I feel sometimes that people think, oh, it all starts in college. The further education colleges have excellent courses running at the moment in the likes of complementary therapies, in sports coaching and in counselling. And for a younger person, they're a perfect avenue to explore this area, be it working with young people or be it working in community care or social care or counselling.
Okay. And we talked a little bit about kind of transference and counter-transference and also self-care. So I suppose it takes a certain kind of person and personality to be, you know, involved in a career like this, because there is an awful lot of yourself that is given in this kind of a job.
Yeah. To get into this area, Emily, you really need to be caring. You know, you can't go into this area if you don't care. The challenge is... do you care too much? And that's the big problem, that some people are very much drawn to this area and then they do the foundation year and they say, I just can't do that. I want to take every client home. I woke up in the middle of the night worrying about them. And if you're that kind of person, it's really, really lovely. But after about a year or two, you would be totally burnt out, and that's going to be no good for anyone. So it's really that capacity to really care, but to be able to remain objective as well. And you can do a certain amount of training around that. And also your supervision is really important there.
I also think there you need to be a calm type of person. And I think that came across very well in John's interview. I think if you think, you know, on listening to him and having listened to so many other people in other different professions, it was that lovely calmness that came across. I could almost feel myself relaxed, to be honest with you. And I think that, you know, somebody who's not going to overreact, just imagine going to somebody who's going to look at you and say, you did what? You know, I mean, that's just not going to work. So it's that, and I think... the ability to be calm, to be honest with you, I think is something that's probably inherent in anybody's personality.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, that is all we have time for today on I Want That Job. As always, a huge thanks to our resident careers experts, Andre Harper and Mary Quirk, authors of Sorted, a survival guide for parents of students making a career choice, which is in all good bookshops now. And of course, thanks to our guest today, psychotherapist John Smith. And for more information about John, you can visit booterstowncounselling.com. If you want to know anything about what we discussed on today's show, you can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/I Want That Job. You can join Mary, Andre, and me, Emily Sheeran, again next Tuesday from 1, when we'll be chatting to another working professional who'll be here to give you the inside track on what it's really like to do their job. Until then, have a lovely day.